Good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene on All Sides Weekend. Joining me this morning, WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak and John Christensen, restaurant critic for the Columbus Dispatch. John, the Dispatch came out with its best restaurant list in a special insert in this morning's paper, and we were chatting before the show, and you said once you're finished with an article, sometimes it's gone even from your mind, but we have notes here this morning, and I wonder if you'd kind of give us some highlights.
Okay, well, the really big picture thing to keep in mind about the restaurant scene, and we're talking about the top restaurants again,
right,
is the relative lack of fatalities over the last year and a half.
That's been pretty incredible considering the economy. It really is, particularly among the top restaurants. You know, there's, a big movement to build the new kinds of McDonald's and things, thinking that everybody's going to go to McDonald's. But somehow our top folks can stay rolling.
Well, and they are marketing themselves a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're doing a great job of that. Many of them have got specials. Frankly, that they've pretty much always had, but they're doing, as you said, a better job of marketing the fact that they have those fixed-price meals, and those are still the best deals in town. Some of them, I think, would compete with what you'd have to pay for the same quantity of food at a fast food restaurant, and yet the quality is just in another world. So they've done a great job there, and I think the public is a lot more sophisticated. You can mm-hmm. almost see it year to year. What's happening in the Columbus market. They're a lot more sophisticated, and I think that households that are squeezed for discretionary spending, which restaurants really have to be, are simply eating more meals at home by avoiding the ordinary restaurants that they might be going to, the Applebee's and the McDonald's. And you can save a ton of money that way.
I'm sure.
And then use these top restaurants for special occasions and use them perhaps even more than you did in the past.
Particularly when you go online and get coupons that further supplement the, Dine Originals Dining Week and the regular specials like the Refectories, Monday through Thursday, which maybe, has that been extended?
It's been extended to Friday, and the hours aren't quite as restrictive as before, and you can sit anywhere in the restaurant. I think that's a huge development.
Yeah.
You're basically talking a $24 fixed price three-course meal from the same kitchen that's turning out the Refectory's regular menu. And then there's a $30 so-called tapas meal at Barcelona for most days of the week that changes every week, and it has something like seven courses.
Mm.
And even though the servings are small, that still adds up to a lot of food, and the price is amazing considering the quality. So if you shop around, you can eat in the top restaurants for no more than you're paying now to go to an ordinary place.
Well, as Rich mentioned, I think in addition to special weeks dedicated to lower prices, Dine Originals does offer a discount on foods on a regular basis gift certificates, I think.
Right.
And that's at their website.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's really no excuse not to read really well. Keep in mind, again, my old saw that the best restaurant in town is your own kitchen because
mm-hmm.
you know exactly what's going into the food. The atmosphere is totally under your control. The price
well,
is
Well, apparently
a fraction.
You don't have children.
Yes, but if you go out to a restaurant, are you going to take your kids with you?
Well, at this age, they just misbehave.
Okay. You either have to line up a babysitter and pay for that person.
The danger is they're you're right, their palates have gotten very sophisticated, and if we have to pick up the tab, it can be really expensive.
Well, that's right. Yeah. By the time you have children who are essentially young adults, they don't qualify for kids' meals anymore, and they can drink.
That's right.
So skip
the
ordinary
meals. We
can't
talk about Son Rich when he's not here.
Well, let's get to some of the highlights on your list for people who perhaps haven't seen the paper.
Okay, well, as always, we do the list alphabetically, and I mentioned Barcelona already, and the next one on the list is Black Creek Bistro, which has just done a great job of local sourcing by getting down to brass tacks by actually growing their own food. It's basically a farmer who has opened a restaurant. And that's about as local as it gets in my book.
About as fresh as it gets, too. Right?
Yes.
And it seems to be regarded, very highly regarded, by just about everyone.
Yes, the menu is very dynamic. It changes a lot, especially through the use of the daily specials. And it's one of, in spite of its relatively low price point, it's one of the very few restaurants left that has its own pastry chef on premises.
Mm-hmm. And they have from the beginning,
Yes, and that makes a difference if you have a sweet tooth. Mm-hmm. And want to save room for dessert. It's a huge difference with the menu that keeps changing the way, as fast as it does at Black Creek, because the pastry chef there just a marvelous job of staying seasonal, staying current, using what's really looking good at the moment. Mm-hmm. You can also get desserts that have more than just cheesecake and ice cream, too.
Well, I think that it was Edible Columbus that published their butterscotch pudding recipe either in the spring or the summer. And it's amazing how much you forget. I can remember my mother making pudding before Jell-O put out their little pudding boxes. And it really is a fairly complex and labor-intensive endeavor.
Yeah, and I think who makes tapioca anymore except in the – that used to be considered an economical dessert. But now, ironically, tapioca is one of those things you can get only in the top restaurants, it seems.
Yeah, it's amazing because it was a staple in our home in the 50s and early 60s.
It's just like the same thing that happened to
comfort food.
Flank steak, I suppose.
Yeah.
Flank steak used to be the cut you bought to save money.
Right.
It's been elevated.
And now it's been shishi for probably two decades now.
Yeah.
I would
the
also
same thing's
mention,
happening to hanger steaks and
yes.
Skirt steaks and the rest of them,
Probably the least known restaurant on my top 10 is Deep Wood, which has consistently turned out excellent food from appetizer to dessert with, again, the philosophy of making everything there.
Well, and in comparison to the other restaurants on the list, this is a relatively new restaurant, maybe 3 years old.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes, and normally it would be really tough for a three-year-old restaurant to get onto anybody's top 10 list. But the people running it are professionals, young professionals, but professionals in every sense of the word, with a lot of experience that you wouldn't guess if you knew their ages. And they just seem to be able to turn out really good food that's original without being bizarre.
Yeah, it's and the ambience is awfully nice too. It's a really attractive place. They're kind of two dining venues within a big room. The back of the house has white tablecloths, but it's more informal up front. And the other thing is that they're competing, according to the person who runs the bar, with wings for the best single malt scotch collection.
And actually, the wine list is very well chosen. Yeah. It's got a tremendous number of wines that you can actually drink with food and enjoy.
And folks shouldn't be intimidated by the fact that it's across from the convention center because they do have valet parking in the evening, and you know it's as easy as any place in the village or other places. Yeah.
And despite the best efforts of the city fathers, you can still find some on-street parking around there. So I shouldn't have said that, because now that'll disappear too.
Don't tempt them,
John.
And then they also managed, given the size of the staff, I don't know how they managed to have a separate menu for the informal part of it that Rich was mentioning. And it's got a lot of really interesting stuff on it too. You might even skip the dinner menu.
Relatively inexpensive.
Yes,
and they're open for lunch Tuesdays through Friday. I think it's
yes.
Yeah, so give it a try at lunchtime.
Good. Dragonfly is the next down the alphabet. And, of course, that's a unique restaurant on a national scale, I would have to say. To have a vegan restaurant that's cooking to the highest standards of, I hate to use the word conventional cuisine, but they're using classic techniques to turn out food that's pretty much no holds barred as far as flavor and texture and appearance are concerned, but they're doing it totally vegan, which just seems astounding to me. I get tired sometimes just reading their menu because I know how much effort has to go into, say, making puff paste without any dairy products, or making a creme brulee with no dairy products.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible.
This is a chef, too, who has a garden, yes. I think, right on the premises, yeah. and is growing much of the food that they use in preparation.
Yes, and he was one of the early adopters of the local food movement, because before he was able to put his plans for a garden nut back into effect, he was commissioning farmers in the area to grow very specific types of strains of various vegetables. He wasn't just saying, plant me a field of potatoes or plant me some broccoli. He was telling them exactly which strain to grow. And that's almost like having your own farm and controlling everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the people there are truly passionate about food, and it is amazing that a metro market the size of Columbus can have a place that would probably be surprising even in one of the top 10 markets of the country.
Right. And he's been around for a while. It looks like he's going to stay around for a while. He has some limited outdoor seating, although that season is almost over. They have a good wine, some of them non-sulfa.
Yes, he has a lot of organic selections and a lot of no sulfite added or no sulfur added selections on the list. And it's a food-friendly list, very important when you're eating that quality of food.
And how about pricing?
Pricing, I think, for what he's giving you, I think it's very reasonable. It's not one of the highest. It's far from being one of the higher-priced restaurants in town. And if you want to check out some of their food on the cheap, you can go next door to basically a carryout operation they started up a couple of years ago called Street Food, I believe, mm-hmm. and get Middle Eastern type or Middle Eastern inspired street food and either eat at one of the two or three tables they have there or just take home.
And is this all vegan as well?
No, it's vegetarian.
And this is on King Avenue, yes. Dragonfly, near Neal, right?
Right, yes. West
it's
King.
King, yeah. King, just east of Neal.
Well, before we take a break, I wonder if you could just kind of wrap up the list.
Okay. Well, Kihachi Japanese restaurant is another one that, like Dragonfly, could compete in very large markets. It's got a national reputation among people who follow Japanese food. And it's probably the most expensive restaurant in town. I'll have to give you a little warning up front there. But the passion of that chef is evident in his appetizer menu, which changes according to what he finds at the market that morning. And he may do something as simple as buying an exquisite-looking mushroom and poaching it as simply as possible so he doesn't destroy any of its character. He's going to charge you for it, but you'll feel that you're eating at the top the top-flight restaurant when you go there. It's not a sushi joint, although they have some sushi, and it's definitely not a Japanese steakhouse.
So. No flying knives or anything.
That's right. No hoopla, no shows.
No strangers at your table.
Yes. Yes.
And so M, I think, is next in line.
M, and of course, as everybody probably knows by now, that's Cameron Mitchell's personal project. It's another one of those no-holds-barred restaurants that aims to do everything top rate, and they started out originally using signature dishes from around the country, and they've preserved a lot of that diversity. I would say that it's the menu is basically a new American cooking mm-hmm. with a lot of Asian influences.
Well, I think what we'll do is go ahead and take this break, and then we'll round out the top 10.
Okay.
We'll be back on All Sides Weekend in just a moment.
You know that guy in high school? He's got lots of friends. All the girls want to go to the prom with him. But he's constantly searching for the one, the perfect beauty, to whom he can give his heart. But Ms. Perfect keeps saying she wants nothing to do with him. And it just makes him want her more. Oh, Chris Christie, won't you be mine? I'm Peter Sagal. You know, when you think about it, Chris Christie does sound like the name of a gorgeous blonde. Join us for the news quiz from NPR.
And Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is tomorrow morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides Weekend today. 53 degrees with cloudy skies. Expect rain showers this afternoon and a high of just 54 degrees. Rain is likely for tonight as well, a low of 41.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating our nationally ranked businesses and nonprofit leaders, making our community stronger. With donors and funds in 33 Ohio counties, the Columbus Foundation, where your philanthropy and your community come together.
All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about food and restaurants here on All Sides Weekend with WOSU food reviewer Rich Terapak and John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch. And John, you were just about to finish up your best restaurant list.
Yes, and of course, the Refectory is next alphabetically on this list, and it's got to be one of the best-known restaurants in town.
And just celebrated a major anniversary, I think.
Yes, they're counting 35 years, I believe, from when the old church was first opened there, which was a predecessor operation, and the refectory was something that it segged to about 25 years ago. And the standards have been maintained. In fact, I'd say they're as high as they've ever been. And it is the most French of the restaurants that we have in town.
With the chef that hails from Lyon, I think.
Yes. Yeah. He comes from the heart of French cooking.
Yeah.
The
Paul
Bocuse,
you know,
North
is
meets
door
South.
Neighbor.
Yes. He actually had some. I understand it is crème brûlée, which a lot of people that would tell you is the best in this region, was one that he learned cooking in Bocuse's kitchen. Hmm. It's Bocuse's original recipe, which I think was the first crème brûlée. Anywhere, I think Bocuse came up with it.
Hmm.
So it's the pedigree is wonderful.
Probably on that fixed price menu. So
yes, yeah. And as we mentioned earlier, they have the $24 fixed price menu, 5 days a week. That's also available with it's a separate weekly changing menu, with usually two choices for each of the three courses. The regular menu is some spectacular items, such as a true Dover sole that is filleted at the table and cooked simply so that you can enjoy this top quality fish that you will have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
The wine list is nationally famous, and they are one of the very few restaurants you'll ever find that has a deep enough cellar that they've been able to age wines, right, buy them and hold them.
For many years, they appeared on the USA Today had a best wine list restaurants in the country, and they were always in the top 10. I don't know if they're doing that survey any longer, but that was probably 10 years ago.
Yes, and I think Wine Spectator had a worldwide rating, and they were always in the top tier of those awards.
And they have one of the most gracious owners and maitre d' in Kamal. He's a terrific restaurateur.
Yeah, and that brings up a consideration here. With all of the emphasis on star chefs, we overlook the importance of the owners and managers, because they aren't always the chefs. In those restaurants that are not chef-owned, well, even in those that are chef-owned, the quality of the management is, I think, impossible to overrate. You can't have a great chef doing great things in a restaurant that's not well run, because you're not going to go back. You're going to have spotty experiences, whether at the front of the house or with the staff or with rude busboys or God knows what. But as Rich says, the owner of the Refectory is just a top-flight host. He's a great manager of people. And he's been able to retain so much of his staff for so long that it's one of the...
That alone is a testament.
Yes. I suppose you could say it's the most professional staff in town.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, and in an accompanying article in the paper this morning, I think there were various writers who,
yes.
who pitched in, but there was a discussion about where many of these chefs had been trained, and so many of them went through Rigsby's and the Refectory.
Right, yes.
And had only pleasant things, wonderful things to say mm-hmm. about those experiences.
Yes, and that kind of brings up the next one on the list, which is Rigsby's. And Kent Rigsby himself, of course, came out from Lindy's, which is a traditional powerhouse of good cooking and great atmosphere. And he, in turn, has turned out wonderful chefs, such as the executive chef at the Worthington Inn. But Rigsby's was maybe the first restaurant to really go into this provisioning business. Before Rigsby's, I think the trend seemed to be, even in the better restaurants, to just have one supplier of everything year-round. And I understand from one of his sous chefs that years ago, before provisioning became the hot item that it is now, Rigsby had over 25 different suppliers. That's a lot of
wow.
trouble to go to.
Yeah, it's
to
very
maintain
small,
ingredient quality.
Very small alley and parking lot to it. Deliveries
yes.
are not easy.
Yeah, so that shows a certain kind of passion, and I think of all the chefs I know, Kent Rigsby is probably the most self-critical. So his passion comes from an inner drive that is always looking for the ultimate. And I think that helps create an atmosphere in the restaurant and in the, especially in the kitchen that shows on the plate. So year after year, they've been on pretty much everybody's top 10
right,
list.
Right. And, you know, one experience with that demonstrates his passion. And I guess the fact that he's such a student of food as well is when we dragged Michael Ruhlman around town to re-educate him. we ended up on Friday evening at Kent's, and it was, I think, one of the short North walk-around nights.
Oh, Gallery.
Gallery, yeah. And so we were late and whatever, but Kent was very gracious, spent a lot of time with us, and brought out 7 of Ruhlman's cookbooks to be autographed. So he must have a heck of a library there someplace.
Yes. He's one, like all the really good chefs, he's always learning.
Yeah.
And always teaching.
Yeah.
Spaggio is another restaurant that's got a long pedigree here and whose food, I think, is better than it's ever been. And it's one of the few places you can go and not have to worry so much about grease and salt. And
yeah, Hubert Seifert keeps
sugar.
The cleanest kitchen in the restaurant world, I think. We sometimes cut through the back door, and you don't do that in most restaurants, and to get to the dining room off of that parking lot behind them and on Grandview Avenue. And it's just meticulous. It's just amazing how clean, tiny, organized the place is. It's amazing.
Well, I think that sets an attitude for the entire restaurant. And his menu is also more dynamic than people give him credit for. It changes a lot, even though its physical appearance looks a lot the same. But mm-hmm. they change it very regularly, and they rotate an awful lot of really interesting dishes on there, and many of them take advantage of his Alsatian-Germanic background and experience. So it brings an element into this German-founded town that really none of the other top 10 restaurants contribute.
Right. Particularly now with Hanke having retired and closed,
yes.
And Hubert Seifert and Hartman Hanke are good buddies. It's also fun when you're there at lunchtime or at dinner. The chef is out there. He's such a congenial guy. He's walking around. He's talking with everybody. He runs a really tight house in the kitchen, but he's out there being gracious and welcoming, and it makes you feel good.
Yes, you can just tell that even after all this time in the restaurant business, he still enjoys what he's doing, which I think is a tribute too. And anyway, I mentioned earlier the Worthington Inn, which is whose kitchen is headed by one of Kent Rigsby's graduates, and Thomas Smith picked up a lot from his experience with Rigsby, and he'll freely tell you that. And he's got a menu in a wonderful Restored Inn setting that is very American, but is very new American in that it reflects Pan-Asian influences, Italian influences, and all the other things, all the other, I hate to call them trends, but all the other influences that have gone into making up what the food scene is in the U.S. today, which is very national.
I'm sorry. I remember Marilyn, we went there
at Christmas time.
Christmas time. And, you know, it's right out of Courier and Ives. So you kind of expect, you know, pot roast. And it's lovely. I mean, it's well decorated and all that. But it does have a very creative menu that, you know, don't be inhibited and think you're only going to get Apple Brown Betty or something like that.
Well, it also must seat an enormous number of people because there are several different dining areas within the Worthington Inn. And it looks as though you could probably get more than 100 people in
there. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yes, well, they claim a seating capacity indoors of 120, which is for that quality of menu. That's a lot of seats. And the cooking is very deep, in the sense that they make so much there, including their own gelatos and sorbets. And given the number of flavors they maintain just of those particular desserts, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of provisioning. And Smith, like Magdiel Walmark at Dragonfly, has been growing some of his own herbs in the small plots he's got, and had learned earlier when he was at Kent Bigsby's the importance of very specific provisioning. So it's a restaurant that's totally on board with the current scene.
292-8513. Some of our listeners have called in or emailed in to contribute to John's list. And among them, let's see, sorry to have missed the earlier conversation, but wanted to say Akai Hana, I'm not sure how to say it, is outstanding and reasonably priced. That's a restaurant I have not been to.
I have not either.
The old Restaurant Japan.
Ah, okay.
Is what they're talking about.
On Henderson.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
There's also one that this emailer, Sue, recommends, the Olive Tree, which is Mediterranean fare on Hilliard Rome Road.
Yes, it's a much more informal restaurant, and I think people on the west side are really lucky to have that. It's kind of part of a mini resurgence of the food scene on the west side, and it is run by a... an Israeli-born gentleman who has never been in the food business before.
Hmm.
And that could be an advantage for all I know. But he's got very high standards, and I think he's got also very good taste in the literal sense that his Middle Eastern food has got a lot of the right flavors and it's very well balanced. So if you're on the West Side, that is the number one venue by far for Mediterranean food. And if you're in North Columbus, I would say that Lavash would be the number one choice there.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway between Central Ohio and Lebanon, right?
That's right. That's right.
292-8513, or you can email us at WOSU at all sides. An email from Jeff. He and his wife visited Morocco last year and loved their, and I'm not sure how to say this either, veggies couscous?
Couscous?
Well, that's not...
That's probably what he meant.
It's couscous.
It's couscous.
Yes.
Well, this is written couscas, so I'm not sure. But Jeff wants to know if that could be found here in Ohio.
Well, you might call Olive Garden, or Olive, excuse me, Olive Tree, and see.
I was going to faint.
I'll wash my mouth up.
Oh, my gosh.
Such snobs.
With love.
I know. They probably support the station.
I believe that the owner there has... periodically put couscous-based dishes on the list. I know that the owner of Lavash has a dream of opening one day a Moroccan restaurant.
Wouldn't that be terrific?
Where you would have all the tahines and other couscous-based recipes, and where you would never have to be rushed, where there'd be only one seating per evening, and you'd have these very elaborate meals with food that right now we can only dream about.
Right.
Also, so I'm not really answering the reader's question, but
so he can find it in your dreams.
I would start at Olive Tree and call Lavash and see if they are going to have couscous
and there's
day specials.
A little unassuming restaurant where the owner is always on the premises. I stopped there just to pick up something for dinner a week or so ago, and it doesn't seem to matter what time of day you go, he's there.
Yeah. Apparently he doesn't sleep.
There's also a very tidy merchant. I think his facility is also just so hygienic, it's amazing.
Yeah, I've seen him throw out food that I thought had at least 2 days left in it.
John's pulling the car up at the in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's his standards are amazing. He reminds me of Kent Bigsby in the fact that in the way he's very relentless with himself. Mm-hmm. Another place you might the reader might try or the emailer might try for couscous would be Barcelona. Mm-hmm. I believe that's sometimes rotated into their specials.
Hmm. We did hear from Regina on Facebook who says she knows a little unpretentious place called Windward Passage that has really good food comparable to Hyde Park. And it's a fun place to go and eat and sit in the lounge. It's on Reed near Henderson.
That's been there forever. Mm-hmm. I remember reviewing that for Columbus Monthly in the 1970s.
Is that in that little shopping center there?
It is in a shopping center. It's
where TJ Maxx is. Every woman in Columbus knows where TJ Maxx is.
I believe it's the TJ Maxx shopping center.
Okay, so that is just in from the corner, kind of Reed and Henderson. Yeah. Pretty easy to find. And from Victoria on Facebook, she says, I love Elena's for its creativity and top quality.
And we agree. We love Elena, too.
292-8513 if you'd like to either ask a question or weigh in on some of your favorite restaurants here in Columbus. We have about a minute before our next break. One of the things that came up in the paper this morning, there was a whole insert that was included in the Dispatch, was how many local restaurant owners have gardens. And even Latitude 41, which is in a hotel downtown, mm-hmm. has rooftop gardens, and they're hoping that the savings that they'll realize on their herb gardens up on the roof will essentially help to pay for what they don't have to spend on produce from someone else. So apparently there is
a reception around the swimming pool, the old swimming pool area.
Yes.
And
so they still have a pool up there too.
Yeah, and they have this section of it kind of fenced off with herbs and vegetables growing behind it. It was kind of delightful to see.
Yeah, I think Elizabeth Lesner had started a rooftop garden. Less than half a block away.
Right.
A few years ago.
It's her brother that grows the stuff there, I think, isn't it?
Yes, and in both cases, besides producing fruit, I think there are some energy savings considerations.
Well, there is a financial aspect to it.
Sure.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's a great development. There's just absolutely nothing to compare with growing your own, and especially when they can grow herbs, which don't take up a lot of space.
Mm-hmm. Right. And grow pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
292-8513. We are going to take a little break here and be back with our restaurant critics in just a moment.
On the next Fresh Air, Jonathan Franzen talks about his latest novel, Freedom, which has just been published in paperback. It's in part about parenting and the kind of parents who want to be best friends with their children.
As we're talking, I'm realizing the extent to which the book is a lament for the loss of a distinction between children and grown-ups.
Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us today for All Sides Weekend, 53 degrees with cloudy skies. Rain moving into the area this afternoon, a high of 54 today. Rain is likely tonight, a low of 41. Some showers for Saturday morning and then cloudy skies in the afternoon and a high of only 50 degrees. Mostly sunny on Sunday, a high of 58.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Midland Theater presenting the Miles Davis Experience 1949-59, recapturing the period and sound with the Ambrose Akinmusiri Quintet. October 6th. Tickets at midlandtheater.org.
Prohibition was intended to improve the lives of all Americans and to protect society from the devastating effects of alcohol abuse. Watch the rise and fall of the 18th Amendment as Ken Burns and Lynn Novick present Prohibition, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday nights at 8 on WOSU-TV. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Marilyn Smith. We're back on All Sides Weekend with Dispatch food critic John Christensen, along with WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak. We've been talking about the top 10 restaurant list that came out in the Dispatch this morning, along with a special insert in this morning's paper discussing all things food. 292-8513, and we have Madeline on the line. Hi.
This is Madeline.
Go ahead.
I just, at the risk of you thinking I work for a North Star restaurant, which I do not, I just want to say how wonderful their Easton facility is. I had not been up there. I had an occasion to get up there just recently, and it's just a really lovely facility in addition to the food always being good. And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
It is a beautiful space. The design was really well done. It was a garden store previously, and the seating is comfortable. There's a lot of it. Talk about good staff. I think the North Star folks are excellent.
Well, I think North Star, from what I've heard, they do pay benefits, which is almost unheard of in the restaurant business, and it is a great way to retain some of these young workers who
Absolutely.
Come in and can't find jobs otherwise.
Kind of the Starbucks model.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you think about Starbucks product, I think you'd have to admit that the staffing there is first rate, especially when you look at the price level of what they're selling. And as far as North Star is concerned, I haven't been to the facility in Easton, but they seem to be doing a good job of what I think is the greatest challenge for a restaurant owner, which is to expand.
Mm-hmm. Successful.
They now own
yeah.
3rd and Hollywood, right?
Right.
And North two, Star in
they
the short
They have two North. Places on High
right.
Street.
On High Street.
Well, that's
and,
right.
And the Easton place. Are they going into Polaris? Did I hear a rumor of that?
I'm not sure, but it to maintain quality, especially the kinds of things that they're doing, which can't be done in a commissary and shipped out frozen in trucks,
yeah.
That's really tough to do.
Yeah, veggie burgers don't freeze well.
so much that they have to do on each of the premises that to me it's amazing that they've been able to clone themselves. Because I think that over the years, the single greatest downfall for restaurants has been the urge to expand.
Yeah.
I've seen that kill more restaurants, I think, than any other factor, including food.
Well, and they even expanded the 3rd and Hollywood location because there was a little shop in that, in the back of that location called Clay Cafe, which had been there about 15 years. And they recently, just within the last year, had to move out to accommodate the expansion of the restaurant. So it's not just growing in different locations in the city, but...
And I think the North Star experience is also another indication of how the public is getting more and more sophisticated because they're responding to the freshness and the emphasis on really good vegetables as well as the rest of the meal that North Star embodies.
Yeah, they also commission the growing of their beets and other things. I mean, they're very particular about it, and it shows in the quality of the product.
And they're doing it at a lower price level than the restaurants we've been talking about.
Yeah.
292-8513, and Omar is joining us from Powell. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, please. As someone who came from the Middle East, I just want to say that there's a couple of restaurants that I really like the best. They have the best tasting Middle Eastern food. Pita Hut, which is on High Street and a little bit north of Morris, and Nazareth, which is 161 in Cleveland in that area. I think that Pita Hut has the best falafel and hummus and shawarma. And for sit down and having cooked meals, I thought Nazareth Deli also has a the best Middle Eastern food. Mm. Too bad Alibaba just closed down on the Ohio State campus to be replaced by a Turkish restaurant, but those two places are my favorite.
Well, thank you very much for weighing in this morning.
Sure.
John, are you familiar with these restaurants?
Yes, I'm not familiar with Alibaba, but I did review Nazareth favorably about 8 months ago. My experience at Pita Hut has not been very good. And also, I've been a little miffed that they're quoting me as having given them 4 stars when I have not.
There's a new Pita House on the east side, on East Broad Street. And I think they were the original Pita Hut folks who sold out several years ago. So you might want to give it a try. They're a lot better.
Okay. Well, and you now have Cafe Istanbul in Bexley.
Right.
Suddenly, there's this resurgence of restaurants.
It's just incredible. It's quite a food haven.
So have you been to Cafe Istanbul?
I have not been there yet. But I think they're fully open. They did a great job with the location, which was when I was a kid, it was a gasoline pump garage combination.
Gas station?
Well, it was a mechanics. Well, I guess gas stations used to do that. So somebody a long time ago must have cleaned it up in an EPA sense. But it's been a couple restaurants now, and It's where Flavors used to be, and they moved the outdoor seating to the street, which is really attractive, and I think will pull a lot more people in. Flavors had a nice patio on the back, but you never knew it was there. So I'm anxious to try it. I haven't had an opportunity.
And they're keeping the one in Easton?
Yes, as I understand it.
292-8513, and Daniel is joining us again from Powell. Hi, Daniel.
Oh, hi. I didn't know I was on the air. I just wanted to ask if you knew of a restaurant that might be extremely vegetarian friendly. I love Dragonfly and Whole World Foods in Clintonville, but always looking for something new. Didn't know if you had any ideas. Indian is always a good idea, but always up for something new.
Well, we've mentioned a number of Middle Eastern restaurants, which are easy sources of vegetarian food from virtually any menu in a Middle Eastern restaurant. And you've already mentioned Indian. We haven't talked about this stampede of Indian restaurants that's been happening over the past couple of years, but it seems like they're getting easier and easier to find. Some of them, like Dosa Corner, are extremely vegetarian. It's simply no meat allowed on the premises. I don't know if you've checked out places like that. Dosa Corner is on Old Henderson, south of Kenny Road.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your call this morning. And Gail is joining us from Clintonville. Hi.
Hello. I just wanted to put my 2 cents in for a little mom-and-pop Mexican restaurant here in Clintonville. It's where the old Toledas used to be. It's called La Patrona. And I've eaten there several times. I've always had good food, but especially I'm impressed with when they serve you, when you first come in, they serve you warm tortilla chips and the best salsa I've ever had. I mean, it's spicy, but it's tasty, and it's full of fresh cilantro and chunky, and it's not that thin red stuff that a lot of Mexican restaurants. And these people, it's not Tex-Mex like Toledo's used to be. These people are, this couple is from Mexico. And also the best, really delicious black bean soup. So, but what impresses me the most is the incredible salsa that they serve you for free when you first come in.
It's not from the pipeline?
No. And it's not, it's not a chain. It's just this couple that runs this La Patrona. It's right around Weber and High.
Yeah.
So it's, best salsa I've had.
It's very near Labash, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just right next to it, actually.
Right.
So
I've got to try it. I haven't been there yet. But just last week, a good friend of mine who's a foodie, if that's still a term we can use.
Sure. I'm a dedicated foodie.
Ed mentioned it and said that we ought to try it.
Yeah.
We'll check it out. Yeah. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much. That was Gail from Clintonville recommending La Patrona in Clintonville, Weber and High. Rich, you recently attended From Field to Table at Franklin Park Conservatory, and I believe there was another food-oriented event there, the 23rd.
Right.
It was the
I
Columbus
went to that
Food
one
and
as
Wine
well.
Affair. Yes, I'm sure.
they're a mile away. So
this is, but the Columbus or Franklin County, Franklin Park Conservatory has become just another food venue here in Columbus. Centering on plants as well,
right?
As food,
right? There's, you know, we've actually been doing some cooking classes in what's known as the Education Pavilion. There's a beautiful area of, on the south west corner of the park that was funded largely by Scott Seed, and it has terrific gardens. A lot of, you know, it has some community gardens. Some of the neighbors have. A good buddy, Jim Boudreaux, I think, put his the peas in before Valentine's Day. they allow you to it's amazing. They allow you to rent those or reserve those, and then the area just kind of lends itself to some very nice outdoor entertainment space. They have a patio area with teak tables and chairs and lights overhead that make you feel like you're in a taverna in Athens. It's a delightful place, and it's getting a lot of community attention, rightfully so. And they are doing a regular culinary program in this Education Pavilion, a very nice new building. Probably seats about 30 for cooking classes. Both of those events were very well attended. I think probably each of them had over 600 folks show up. And the field to table event, it's set up in long tables, a la something some picture out of Bon Appetit, you know, probably 40 feet long with candles and stuff going down all off spokes off of that sculpture in the middle of next to the glass house. It is just a gorgeous evening. A lot of folks, a lot of chefs contribute their talents to the evening, and they had some terrific food this time. I thought one of the things I love the best, believe it or not. My blessed mother would not believe it. The succotash was terrific. all of the profits from that event, the field-to-table event, go to the community garden program run by Franklin Park and a great guy by the name of Bill Dawson. And there are like 130 of those small community gardens, mostly in the inner city. And so it's terrific that people are supporting the event. And I think they really enjoy themselves. And now the Food and Wine Festival, which is put on by Cora, I believe, also benefits various charities, was equally well attended. And a lot of wine distributors, restaurants also providing samples of things. All the best restaurants in town were there doing that. And Jenny was giving away ice cream. Can't beat it.
292-8513 in the 6 minutes or so that we have left. An email from Chris this morning, can you recommend Vietnamese restaurants? And there are a number of those that have sprung up in recent years.
Yeah, there have been a number. I've been a bit disappointed in the recent openings. I guess the most, the newest one is probably Banh Mi on North High Street in the Powell or Lewis Center area. That it's north of Powell Road on High Street in the shopping center that's anchored by Walmart. It is an extremely clean operation. It's immaculate. The food I've tried so far has been good, but I wouldn't say that it's spectacular. But maybe that would be a starting place for our emailer.
And the name of it again?
Banh Mi, B-A-N-H, Mi. It's named after one of the traditional sandwiches.
Yeah, done on small French rolls.
Probably the best one I've run into in the last few years that's still in operation is Indochine on the east side.
Oh, right, on Hamilton. Yeah,
it's again, now in a freestanding place. Used to be in a strip center, and it's actually, I think, improved since they moved.
I agree, and it's also one of the friendliest places as well. The proprietors just let them order for you because it'll be the best thing on the menu that day.
292-8513, and Sue is calling from Hilliard and wants some information on Harvest.
Harvest Pizza.
New pizza place.
Yeah, it's on 4th, just south of Livingston. You have to look for it almost. The signage isn't real dominant. They are doing great small pizzas. They have a they have some terrific salads. They're all sort of artisan pizzas. Omega is providing the dough, but they have a pizza oven. The product is really well done. It's again very clean. They have a great little outdoor garden as well, well maintained, and the pizza oven is open to the seating, so you can watch all of that. Very tiny little bar. I would recommend it. It's I had some great pizza, and they have some, as I said, some terrific salads.
And Omega, of course, is the bakery at the North Market.
Yeah, a very fine bakery. I would also add a place on the north edge of downtown, which is Element.
Haven't been there yet, is it? Yeah, I got to get
very high quality pizzas. Again, a limited menu. Mm. A rather elaborate bar that they inherited from the previous occupant. But it's a place that's being cleaned up nicely inside, nice and bright, and top quality pizzas.
Now, is that going to be hurt by all of these ramp exit closures on the freeway?
I sure hope not, but it just seems inevitable because it cuts way down on the traffic through that area.
Right.
And that's in the north end of downtown.
It's at Chestnut and...
Third. Third. Yeah,
it used to be the Plugged Nickel.
Right. As you exit onto Third to get downtown.
Or as you think you are.
As you used to. it's right there at that first traffic light.
292-8513. We just have about 2 minutes left. We did have a message from Samantha on Facebook. She wanted to recommend Moy's Restaurant, a Chinese restaurant on campus. And this is a restaurant that has been recommended to us a number of times on this program.
Don't know it.
Yeah, I've been there. It's near probably it's between 16th and 17th, and that you have to look for it. It's small. It is. We had Sunrich and I had a great lunch there. It's when we used to judge restaurants on the amount of quantity you got per dollar. Well, you'll make out like a bandit on this one. The Asian owners are there, invisible,
it's a husband and wife.
It's a husband and wife. Gets a lot of support from campus, a lot of professorial support, and it's it's good.
A number of people have recommended it, as we've had these call-in shows. She also wanted to recommend General Tso's, TSO, and a place called Mongolian Beef.
General Charles, I think it's. Is that the one on Go Down Road, just north of Bethel?
No address on this, but yeah. And I'm not familiar with the other one, Mongolian Beef.
It's not to be confused with Mongolian Barbecue.
Yeah, it could be Mongolian Barbecue, which is the chain.
Which is a chain. Yeah.
Well, where it's throw your stuff together.
And one I would throw in the mix is which is brand new is Passport, which replaces Gordon's. It's on Riverside Drive in the River's Edge Shopping Center, not far from downtown. Mm-hmm. A lot of neat Caribbean stuff.
This has been All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We've been talking with Rich Tarapac, WOSU restaurant reviewer, along with John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch. We'll be back again in November. We'll be going to news next at NPR. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org.